Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's time for Queen's Club. Let me tell you how this call works, just in case you're newer to No BS. Everybody's always invited, but this is for people who've lost over 25 pounds. They get to raise their hand. They get to get special coaching. So I'm going to start with Liz. Coach Lizzie's coming up, and anybody that's going to want coaching, make sure you raise your hand. Okay. All right, Liz. Let's go with you first. Oops. And then you can also put questions in the Q&A if you have them. Hey, Liz.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I was not expecting you to call my name immediately. I was like, of course, everyone's got their hand up.
No, like the last call, we ended a half hour early because
Right?
nobody had their hand up. I was like, all right, well, we're getting out. I'm gonna go clean
Right?
out
You're like,
the
gotta go.
closet. Yeah, well, I'm on this like organization kick right now where I do this every now and then. I kind of get to a point in my life where I'm just like, I want everything around me clean. I want everything around me organized. I want to make as few decisions as I have to make. And so I've been like identifying one spot in my house every single day that I'm going to tackle that's easy. And my little hall closet here was easy. And I literally cleaned it out during the hour.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I just get busy. Like I don't give my time, I don't give myself a lot of time to talk myself out of things. So when I make a decision, I'm just like, okay, just start. Because if you sit here for like 2 seconds, excuses are going to come up. Like, to me, that's the fastest way to short circuit excuses is to get into action before they get too loud.
I love that. I mean, that's exactly what I'd like coaching on, but I did want to say that I've been waiting, literally waiting for years to be able to be coached in Queen's Club.
Okay,
Finally, like
let's
you coached
go.
me on medical weight loss and using weight loss medication. I was like, oh my God, it's been like the best thing for me. So I'm like super excited to like be on this particular call and get coached here. So,
All right. Well, what do you want help with today?
well, it is about that. You know, I went to camp virtually and you know, you talked a lot about discipline and, you know, like how a lot of people think about discipline. Like I think about discipline as punishment, where discipline really has two meanings to it. And, you know, like leaving camp, being all like, yeah, I'm gonna do all of this stuff. And then I just find myself of I'm a consumer of information, but it's hard for me for whatever reason to take action on all of those. So I don't know if it's I have too much shit that I want to do. I don't know what it is, but I wrote down the definition of discipline: an activity, exercise, or regimen that develops or improves a skill. And I'm like, okay. And you know, it was this morning when I was thinking about if I got coached, what I would like coaching on, but I just find that I'm like, yeah, all this stuff would be great. Walking, riding my Peloton, doing this, cleaning out my closet. And then I'm just like, I'm just going to sit here and play my game. And it's like, it's almost like a physical response in my body that's like, I'm just not going to do that. And I'm like, why? Like, why? If you know that all of this stuff will benefit you, I started writing. I finally started writing right every day. And it's been great, but I'm like, I won't do shit. Just won't do
All right, so there's a couple things. Number one is why do you think you not want why do you think you
it.
don't want to do it?
I asked myself that question. I think I evade whatever answer is there. So I really don't know. I don't know if it's straight rebellion that I'm like, you're not going to tell me what to do. I really honestly don't know. This has been going on forever. Like, I
Well,
got.
let's just take like one specific thing. Like, what is something that you said you would do today that you haven't done?
That I would clean out my bathroom closet.
Okay, so today you wanted to clean out your bathroom closet and you have watched coaching calls. I know you're
Watch
on the last one
coaching.
too.
Yeah, watch coaching. Did some email stuff, did a little bit of reading, did a little bit of writing, played a little bit of the game.
Okay,
I've
so let
been
me
like,
ask you this. Why do you think you did that stuff versus going and cleaning out that closet?
well, I mean, it's not going to be fun and exciting to like clean out the closet. But the closet is also
Not the way you're thinking about it, probably.
it's also overwhelming. There's just so it's my closets are the place where things go that I don't want to deal with. I'm like,
where everything goes to die.
Everything goes, I mean, yeah, like don't even look in my refrigerator at vegetables. Sometimes that's where they go to die. But yeah, I'm just like, I'll just deal with this later. I'll just deal with this later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah.
So we know so those thoughts are not a problem, but those are they're like your flashing caution signs that you're fixing to go down the road of not doing. So I want you to start thinking about like when you're wanting to kick the can down the road, that's literally just like driving down a road and there's a caution. It's like, slow down, crazy curves coming. You need to like pay attention. And I think that's your brain saying like, slow down. You're fixing to talk yourself out of this. Because what is it going to take for you to go start the closet?
I mean, really nothing, just starting to pull stuff out and deciding if I'm going to throw it in the trash or if I'm going to keep it.
And how long, like, let's just break it down factually. And then let's decide what you want to think about the closet. Because right now your brain says, that is where everything goes to die. It's a mess. There's so much. Like you've got one story about it. So your brain is like imagining your closet task. And it's like, and here is a really terrible story about it. And it's going to be so boring and like all these things. And you're just like, you're right. And so, because I'm the same way. Like I've got some like dead ass, like I have cleaned out two big, did a major purge of my main closet the other day. And I've been putting this off forever. Like it was the same kind of thing. It's like, oh my God, I've got so much shit. Like, I don't like throwing things away. It's just going to make me like feel so wasteful. Like I just had a story about it. And then I decided, I was like, Corinne, we're just going to like break it down. How long do we think it's going to take? What are going to be the steps? Let's look at that first. And then you get to decide if everything you're thinking about it is true. So let's think about this closet. So step one is like, let's say you're going to do it after this call. Is there any reason why you couldn't just do it after this call? That you actually
There isn't. As you were talking, I was like more stuff like, it's really a shame and embarrassment, honestly, with the closet. And it's just like, I don't know if you ever saw that episode of Friends where Monica had that hidden closet and they open it up and like, that's what it reminds me of. That's what it looks like. Yeah. And it's embarrassing for me to say that, but I feel like I need to say it because that released some of that.
So that's why we know you're not doing it. It's not because I have a discipline problem. It's not because of anything other than I just don't want to be embarrassed. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be embarrassed, even though no one else is going to know. I'm going to be embarrassed with me. I'm going to think, what are you going to be thinking to drive embarrassment and shame?
Oh, it's already going. Like it's just going off already in my head. But I'm this terrible person, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So we can just think about that. Are you a terrible person because you have a closet like Monica from Friends?
No.
Okay. You have to have that conversation with yourself. Now, anything that you're thinking that's leading to embarrassment and shame about a closet that's packed with stuff. Is there any reason to truly feel embarrassed or shame? Is there anything we have to work through? Or is this just one of those things I just automatically get embarrassed and shame and I'm the kind of person who doesn't like it? I mean, we've coached on yours always comes back to somehow I don't do things because I concoct stories in my head about why this is so bad about me. And it's like, this is just like cleaning out the closet is one more area that little favorite whoopee likes to pop up.
I was not expecting to get on this call and cry.
Over a closet.
Over a closet. I know. I think it's just all my closets look like that. All my drawers. But if you walked into my house, it's like, this house is perfect and beautiful. But I'm like, please don't open the closet. It's going to be like a cartoon where you're just going to get completely taken out by everything that's in there.
But think about that. Like, why do you, you can think about it two ways. Like, everything looks perfect except for my closets, and therefore I'm terrible. Or most people who are probably on this call are like, I would give anything if I could have part of my house to look good. It's all a shit show. You could say like the living areas, the stuff I see all the time, I do a pretty good job. And I just like, we already know why the closets aren't getting done. You're just creating a false story about what a, you know, for lack of a better term, untidy, dirty, or hoarder style closet means about you. Other than all it means is that I have been so creating so much shame and embarrassment around it. It is no wonder they look the way they do.
Yeah.
That is all that's going on. Like, it's not a mystery. It's not a discipline problem. It's not a tackling too much thing. It really is, because like, I want you to just imagine this, Liz. If you had zero embarrassment and shame, imagine if an organizer came to your house. An organizer would probably have an orgasm because they love pulling apart projects like that.
Right.
They love sorting. They love like the after. They're imagining taking a before and after picture and all the business. Like, they're fucking excited about your closets. They're not going like, ew. They're probably thinking, thank God for people like Liz, keeps me in business. So I just want you to think about, like, if you weren't having like self-loathing thoughts about it, how hard would it be to go clean out the closet today?
It probably would not be hard at all. I could probably get it done fairly quickly. I do have something that I have to do in a couple hours, but could probably at least get a portion of it done before I leave. I think it might be a multi-day process, but at least I can get a portion of it done.
So here is a couple of things that just in organizing that's always helped me. And it's funny we're even talking about this because it's organizing month in a membership that I belong to. And I was like, hell yeah, we're going to organize our mind and our environment. I was like, let's go. Like, I love stuff like that. You can pull everything out, especially when you keep a clean house, because it will kill you until you get it back in there. So one of the things that I do, like, I didn't get to finish my closet. I pulled everything out purposely because I know if it sits on the island in the table, it's going to drive me crazy until it has a home. So it's going to force me to finish. So I always like to work with my personality, not against it. And so like, for me, it's like one of those things where it's like, if I know I can't finish something and I know, like, I set it up in such a way that not finishing it is more painful than not.
Right.
So like, if you do keep a clean house, one thing you can do is pull it off. There's a professional, look, somebody's in here saying, professional organizer here. You are my favorite client. I knew that. I was like, there is professional organizer sitting around just like, this is perfect.
Right.
So I want you to think about like, how could you work with it? Would it be better for you to do it? And you just have to figure this out. Knowing that you get embarrassment and shame, is it going to be better for you to belabor it? And I don't, it may be, but to like do it in little sections, thinking like, well, I don't want to overwhelm myself and blah, blah, blah. Or is it one of those things where it's like, well, every time I do it in sections, I'm also going to have to come face to face with my embarrassment and shame. So I'm going to have to do embarrassment and shame work in chunks at a time. Or would it be better just like, I'm going in, I am pulling everything out.
Yeah.
And that will force me over the next week to get all of it back in the way that I want it and to get rid of things. Like, which one do you think you would work better with?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like this one might be, and not that I don't want to face the shame and embarrassment. Like, once I've seen a couple of comments, people are like, you see my closet. And I'm like, I always feel like unique. I'm the unicorn. I'm the only person that, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever. just how I kind of look at that. I just, God, when I think about it, I'm just like, oh, it just seems so daunting of a task. Even without the shame and embarrassment, I'm just like, this fucker's going to take me fucking forever.
So this is where we do want to get clear. This is what I was kind of starting with before we got to shame and embarrassment. Okay. Is how long do you realistically think it's going to take? Like, your brain right now says for fucking ever, which is not true. I guarantee you, if we pulled everything out of that closet, it would not take for fucking ever, but it might take a day. It might take hours. It might take a week. How long realistically, knowing your schedule and what all you have to do, if you were just working on it, how long are we actually talking about?
I think for that closet, given all the little shit that's shoved in there, probably like a week if I really dedicated an hour or two to it, like today.
So it wouldn't even be a week. You're talking 1 hour a day, and in a week it would be finished?
I mean, it could probably be finished actually later today. I don't know if I could get it finished between getting off this call, because I have course practice at 2:30, so I have to leave at like 2, so I don't think that's going to give me enough time. So I think I need to do it whenever I get back, because then I'll have more time to work
on it.
So
this is where you want to ask yourself, if I say I'm going to do it after chorus practice, am I willing to do that even if I absolutely don't want to? If I'm not, then I'm going to do what Corinne does, which is I'm going to start something knowing I can't finish it so that I have to find time to finish it. Like, for me, if I had not started that closet, so after this call, I've got 2 hours of filming I have to do. I'm shooting a course for my other membership today. And I was sitting there going, I really want to work on that closet. I've got like a whole hour, and I could, like, I had like several things I could work on, but I was like, I told myself that that closet was getting done this week. And so I was like, I'm pulling it all out. I'm just going to pull everything out, because that won't take me long to pull it all out. And then as I pulled things out, I was already finding trash. I was like, I found so much trash. I found some shit that I know Chris Crabtree snuck in my closet. I was like, this is not mine. I was like, I don't know who's putting shit in my closet, but it ain't me. Like, so I made a pile of his shit. I was like, I'm going to put this over here. And then it's all sitting there staring at me. And so, but I know, like, because I've started it, I'll end up finishing it. Now, I'm just saying, the only reason why I'm saying is, like, if you've got time before and you really are struggling already saying, I'm going to wait till after chorus practice, you have to decide, am I going to actually do that or not? Because if you're not, you want to set yourself up in a position to win, not in a position to lose.
Yeah, I think I've been putting off. Because I do this with everything. It's not just the closet. It's like everything that I want to do. I'm like, just do it at this time. I'll just do it at this time. So that's my MO at this point with everything that I want to do. Not the closet's just one thing. It's like everything.
Well, this is why we start with one thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good example of, you want to, like, before we start doing all the things we want to do, this is why at the camp, I told y'all, don't pick more than one goal. We get one, because you got to prove to yourself how, like, I got to prove to myself that I can show up. I've got to work through the drama of just doing this one thing. I've got to work through the excuses that are going to come up. I've got to work through the mistakes that are going to happen and have to, like, be there for myself. Like, you have got plenty of emotional work to do around one goal that once you do it and you're like, huh, like, I was able to actually do this a little faster than I thought. And it wasn't as bad as I thought in these parts, and these parts where it was tough, you know, next time I would do this, then the next goal gets easier. But what most of you want to do is like, I want to overhaul my life because I think my whole life will be so much better if I was just doing all these things. And then you're trying to do everything. And one of the things that I teach y'all all the time is, your brain hates whiplash. It does not like whiplash. It does not want to go from the way you are to this brand new human, no matter how lovely she looks. Your brain's like, no, Like, we've been doing it this way, and I'm really good at doing it this way. And that's a lot of energy to get over there. And that looks like it sucks. So let's pick the closet just for this week. The one thing, we're not going to get on our Peloton and whatever those 5,000 other things you said you want to do, is like, let's clean one closet out and see, does cleaning the one closet out, like, my brain thinks it's going to take for fucking ever. So I'm going to clean out and I'm going to time it. Let's just see how long for fucking ever actually is. So that now, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's a great idea. I never think about that because I'm just like, oh my God, it's going to fucking take forever. And everything, that is my answer to everything. Like, I'm doing Invisalign now. So I'm like, I can't eat before the call because then I have to go and like brush my teeth and do all of this stuff. And I'm like, why do you think it's going to take you 15 minutes to brush your fucking teeth after you eat? Like, it took me like a minute to brush my, you know what I mean? It's like, I just started to see that. I'm like, seriously? Like,
but that's everybody. I mean, everybody. There is not anything I do in my life, anything good or bad. Like, even if it's fun, my brain will dread it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I have, like, well, just like yesterday, we went to our bar. We hadn't been there in like 2 or 3 weeks. And I, like, we had been planning it. We'd been talking about how much fun it was going to be. Like, we had just not been there in forever. We were going to go watch some football, blah, blah. I swear to God, Chris came upstairs. I was supposed to be in the shower getting ready. And I was sitting on the couch. I'd not had a shower in 2 days. And I was like, I just dread getting ready. I don't know. You want to just stay in? And he was like, are you serious? So you've only been talking this up for like 3 days. And I said, no, I don't know. And he said, why don't you take a shower and see how you feel after you take a shower? He's like, if you really don't want to go after that, then fine, we'll stay home. So I went and took the shower, and lo and behold, once the ball got rolling, I was fine. And that was my brain bitching about doing something fun.
Right.
So every brain does that. It's like, I just want you to, like, I think it kind of comes back to your special snowflake thing. Yeah. I think you think, like, your big meta problem thought is, my brain is a problem. Like, but it thinks this, but it thinks this, but it thinks this. And it's like, yeah, like, the day that you decide that those thoughts are not problems, they're just random occurring thoughts that happen, I think you're going to find life to be a lot easier.
And that's it. Like, I have not made a decision yet that this stuff is bullshit, right? That I just am like, oh yeah, of course. You know, there's no,
you're either in the land of like, you know, well, that's just what my brain says, so I guess I have to act. Or you're in the land of, which a lot of people do this once they start getting into thought work, and I know how deep you're into it, is, well, surely I need to clean up all these thoughts before I can ever get to where I'm doing this stuff. And that is like your brain just being like, good, we don't have to change. We can just cuddle fuck with thoughts all the time. Because literally, I want you to think about this. If you are waiting to get your brain to cooperate and automatically think all the things you need to feel motivated and to do things, like, and you're going to work on that, you'll be working until you draw your last breath. The brain is not designed to even think that way.
Right.
So you have to drop that expectation. The expectation is, I'm probably never going to fucking want to do anything. Like, why would I? I'm going to tell you right now, I'd love to get off the call with you and play Wordle. I mean, Wordle is a lot easier than coaching, you know? And then I can, like, stroll into Strands and waffle and not record videos today too. But I'm going to be just like, I got to go to work. Like, that's just, it sucks. I got to go to work, and my brain would rather play games. And that's probably everybody. And like, I'm not doing all the judgment. I'm also not doing the like, well, there's no way I could work in this state. And yeah, it's the same thing with you in your closet. It's like, there's no way I could clean out my closet when I'm like embarrassed and don't want to. It's like, well, yeah, you could. You could just go clean the closet and then see how embarrassed you are after. And then see how much you don't want to after. That's what I usually tell myself. I like to tell myself a lot of times, like, Kryn, if you go clean that closet out, And when you're completely done, then you get to decide, did it take too long? Was it a waste of time? Was it too hard? Should I just go get all the stuff from the trash and put it right back in there? Like, I get to make those decisions once I've done something. Because a lot of times I think you're trying to pre-decide this will be hard. You're pre-deciding this will not be worth it. You're pre-deciding things. It's like, don't pre-decide. Give yourself a result and then think, like, now what do I think about this?
Ooh, I like that. Give yourself a result first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I know it's going to feel amazing. I know, like, when I walk by or open it, I'm going to be like, oh my God, this is so great.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to throw more shit in there.
Well, that's just the way it is. And you just have to know that. And you just have to say, like, you know what? It's not a big deal. I'm going to, like, pull everything out of this closet. And, you know, you may be like Corinne. This is me. Like, I would love that every time I organized, if everything would stay that way, but it never does because I like everything in my, like what I'm seeing in front of me organized. And so I tend to throw things in closets or stuff things out. I'll organize this later. Or I'll put this where it belongs later. And I never do.
Yeah.
And so I'm about every 6 months, I have to go through things and I have to, like, let's clean it out. Let's throw stuff away. And I will tell you the other big thing I think that's good about organizing is it will show you too, like, how attached, like, irrationally attached we are to things. Like, I'm really struggling with this wall I have right here. I've got all of my awards on it from my school that the life coach school I went to, and she's pretty much closing it down after this year. Like, we're not going to have, it's not going to be like it was. And we don't have our masterminds anymore. Everything's changing. And so I was looking at them today and I was sitting there thinking, man, I'm thinking about packing all my awards away and putting them up because that shelf is, luckily I'm very successful. So it's very loaded with awards. But when I look at them now, I don't feel proud. Now, when I look at them, I miss the ability to even earn awards. I get triggered to think about that part of my life is over. And I was thinking, I wonder what would happen if I packed them all away and I made space for something new that would trigger something different. And I was like, oh my gosh, what a lesson just thinking about stuff like that. Like if you cleaned your closets out and you didn't put a bunch of shit in there and you were just like, what if I just had open space in places and what could that do for me?
Yeah, that's kind of where I am in life right now. Of like letting go of the past and letting go of all of the stuff. And having the space to let something new come in and have a new experience and all kinds of things. So I know it's all wrapped up in all of that stuff. That's literally what I've been thinking about since camp is, you know, I turned 50 this year. I have 15 years of sobriety. I have like all of these amazing things. And I'm like, what do you want? What do you want to create space for? What do you want to let go of in your mind to bring in those things, those thoughts, inspiration, whatever it is, to get you going in the direction that you really want to go? And I mean, like my writing, like everything has been about that. So this is just one thing, but it's been on my mind a lot, a lot.
So why don't we just get that closet done? Thinking this, like, this is part of me turning 50. It is time for me to create what I want in my life. And one of the things I know that I want is more space, less things hidden. I know that you've had a lot, like, especially when we talk about shame, I know that, you know, you've had coached several times on binge eating, things like that. It's like, I want more openness in my life. And, you know, for a long time, I've kept everything inside And like your closets are like a mirror of that.
They are.
And it's like, just take some time. Wait, pull everything out, just like you're doing with your brain. I'm pulling everything out of my brain. I'm also going to be pulling everything out of my closet. I'm going to really look through stuff. And some stuff's going to be easy to get rid of. Some stuff might not be as easy. And I'm going to ask myself why and just make sure I really love my reason for keeping things. And when I put it back, I want to put it back in such a way where I feel like I'm redeciding to have these things. Just like as you are journaling and stuff, I want you to be thinking about in your head, I'm at a stage in my life where I'm redeciding what thoughts I want to put back into my brain. And then as those automatic thoughts come up, I get to like decide, do I want to keep it? Do I want to keep it? Like, this is not a problem. This is not a problem. Like, you know, if the best my brain can do when it comes to closets is tell me it's going to take forever, then I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to examine you. I don't think I want to keep fucking forever is my thought. I think what I would like to keep my thought is, I think it would take 1 hour a day for a week. Now, do I want to do that? And if I think that's more reasonable than fucking forever, then that is a thought I'll put back into my brain. And then now I just got to decide, when does it start? And then every time I'm going to go in there, I'm going to tell myself, like, if you're ashamed, it's just your normal bullshit. Don't worry about it. If you're, you know, thinking it's going to be too hard, just remind yourself that it's not that hard. It takes 1 hour a day for a week, and I might even surprise myself. I may get on a roll. I may get to where I'm enjoying it. I find that when I first, like, when I do anything, when I break it down, it's like, okay, all you have to do is this each day. Almost every time when I get going, I end up doing a little bit more than I said I would. Because once I'm in motion, my brain's not thinking about my excuses anymore. My
Right.
brain is now thinking about what I'm doing. So it's easier to get kind of lost in it and do it. And so it's like giving yourself that gift of just getting started. And then you get to see, like, oh, here's all the things I was wrong about that. And I'm probably wrong about other things I'm wanting to start. You know, I wonder, like, even like with your Peloton thing, it's like, I wonder what it would look like to just commit to 15 minutes twice a week in the beginning. Just like, even to, like, you and I are like living parallel lives. Literally, you're talking about a closet. I cleaned out a closet.
Right.
I got on my Peloton today, and I was telling Jane, because I was, my sleep got jacked last night. My team lost last night, and we should not have lost, but we lost. And I was so upset that I was dreaming about it all night long, and I kept waking up all night long thinking like, oh my God, we lost the game. Like, it was just crazy. I get so wrapped up in UT football. And so this morning my sleep score was like as bad as if I'd been out drinking in Vegas up all night. And so I told her, I said, I was supposed to do a run today and blah blah blah, and I'm not really feeling it. I said, I'm just going to go do one of those little 20-minute walk runs on the Peloton. That's a good enough workout for today. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
And but I like, you have to get over being ashamed. You have to get over being like, I should be doing this. You have to get over the idea that there's a perfect schedule. Like you have to overcome a lot of things in order to just go do something simple.
Right. Yeah.
I'm telling all of you, sometimes the simplest things are the absolute hardest ones to do. Give us something complicated, and a lot of women will be like, oh, let me shoulder the burden and put that on my back and carry you across the finish line. You know, like, go for a 15-minute walk. I don't know. That's so selfish of me. I should be doing something better.
My God. Oh, you should hear the thoughts coming into my mind about going for a walk. I'm like, then I gotta walk back up the stairs when I get, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So,
All right. Well, decide what you're going to do about that closet. And then let us know.
I will.
If you're really courageous, do a before and after.
Ooh. I might just do it for myself. I
Do
don't
it
know.
for yourself. But then, like, this is what's hilarious. Do it for yourself. And then if you notice how, like, it's sometimes like a before and after is, you're just so proud. It's just like, oh my God, I went from this to that. Like, it kind of like, do it for yourself, but then ask yourself, like, like, if it looks so good and you're so proud of it, it's because it did look like that. That was the benefit of the junkie closet. I was listening to a podcast before we got started while I was doing my thing, and it was talking about how, like, all the emotions. It's what was it? It's let me look it up. It's gonna drive me crazy now. It's Morgan Housel. It's his latest podcast. He talked about watch me not be able to find it. Oh shit. I'm not gonna be able to find it. But his name is Morgan Housel. He wrote a book called what was the name of his book? The Psychology of Money. And oh, everything in life is cyclical. So he was like saying, like, you know, if you're proud of a closet, it's because you had a dirty one. If you are like in business, businesses have like times where they grow, they also have times where they decline. Like everything in life is very cyclical. It's a pretty neat podcast, but like we forget that there's the yin and the yang for everything. And so, like, you know, just thinking like the only way, like people who just have naturally clean closets are not sitting around proud of them. They never get to feel the exhilaration of like, oh, look at me, look what I accomplished.
I clean this closet, God damn it. Yeah. Oh, all right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. It's the Morgan Housel podcast, Housel, if anybody's interested in it. It's different than anything we all listen to, but I've read his book, The Psychology of Money, because I had so much just money trauma and money drama and all that kind of stuff. And it was really helpful for me just in terms of thinking about like safety around money and stuff like that. But anyway, he's got a podcast that I just started listening to, but that's the only one I've listened to so far. So, Paula. All right, Paula, what do you need help with?
Hey, oh my God, I can't believe you called on me. I was like, I just told my accountability group, I put my hand up. I better fucking brush my hair or something. So I just got out of my pajamas, just letting you know. And I
That's all right.
got my Dolly shirt on just for you.
There you go.
So, okay, so I have a question. And I am coached by the wonderful Coach Kathy every week. So got to give props to her. She's wonderful. And big props, everybody, to private coaching if y'all want to do that. But here's my question. Kathy is constantly telling me that I never give myself credit for anything that I do.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, you have two college degrees. You had an unbelievable career as a director, blah, blah, blah. I'm a stand-up comedian. And I'm like, yeah, but does it, Dan, that stuff just happened. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it happened. And she's like, if you could transfer the accomplishments that you've done in your life to trying to accomplish weight loss. She says, if you could see that, what everybody else sees, it would make it easier for you. It would, you know, because she's always
What do
trying,
you
you
think about, like, well, we know what Kathy thinks. Tell me what you think about what Kathy thinks.
gotta. I've heard it from a number of people through my life, like, wow, you've accomplished so much. And I just always discount it, or in my head, it's like, well, you know, those weren't that hard. Everybody has a college degree. You
Well, let
know.
me ask you this though. Do you feel like, and I'm asking this sincerely because I have been coached on something similar to this. Do you feel like you're discounting, or do you feel like this is just who I am? Because the reason why I'm asking is because sometimes we are discounting. Like there are areas in my life sometimes where I kind of downplay and I notice I get in a down energy about it. So that's how I know I'm discounting. I've got
Okay.
other areas in my life where I'm just like, I was actually writing about this this morning. And one of the things I wrote is like, I've never in my entire life, anything I really wanted to do, I was always good at it. If I got interested in it, I was fucking good at it. Like Vern from Help Scout, she sent me her daughter's flute because I talked about a camp that I was
Oh, yeah, I remember
starting to
that.
play flute again. So she sent it to me and I had it out yesterday.
Sorry.
There you go.
I had you on my phone too. Sorry.
That's okay. So I had it out yesterday and I was so impressed. I remembered one key, one note. I was like, I still
Okay.
remember F and I can blow it. And that was the only thing I could remember. But when I was writing this morning and I was talking about it to myself, Like, I don't like live in all of that, but I just think that's who I am. So I don't know if it's a problem if you're discounting. We have to decide, do you think discounting is stopping you from weight loss, or is there another reason why you're choosing not to lose weight? Because if you're not losing weight, it's because you're choosing not to, not because you can't.
Well, the first thing, I think I may be discounting
Okay.
because every time somebody else tells me that, you don't recognize what you've done in life, and I immediately just want to shut down what they're saying.
Okay.
I don't, I'm like, I don't want to hear this. I don't.
Why? Like, why do you not want to hear it?
Because I feel like it's, I don't feel it's anything special that I've done. And I don't see how, like, usually when people say it, it's because they're trying to make a point somewhere else in my life.
Okay.
You know, like what Kathy does. And I just look at it like, yeah, that's not making a, that's just not making an impression on me. I'm not transferring
Okay.
those successes to what potentially could be a success in my weight loss.
Why do you think they don't translate to each other?
Maybe because I feel that those accomplishments, I always feel like they were easy,
Okay.
which when I break them down, and everybody else in the world says those weren't easy. You had to get two college degrees. You're a comedian. You get up and stage in front of hundreds of people. I could never do that. And to me, it's like
So this is why I'm asking. I don't know if you're discounting or if it's, that's like when people tell me, like to me, standing on stage, I don't care how many people are in the room. It's just
same.
me. I don't like, there's no drama. Like, I'm just like, I would rather be on, like, honestly, I'd rather be on stage and be on Zoom. Whereas most people would be just like, oh, like, don't put me in a room full of people. So this is why I'm asking, because if you don't find they translate to each other, then they don't translate to each other. And what we've got to do is figure out why is weight loss hard for you then? Because this is what I think. And you tell me if, like, whatever. Maybe getting degrees and standing in front of people, that was easy for you. That's your unique skill set. And I don't think that you're, like, I haven't heard you disparage yourself over it or anything. I haven't heard you say, like, well, it doesn't count, or I'm a loser. You don't really, it's not like you've got imposter syndrome and stuff. I think for you, it's just like, I don't see how, when this thing's hard for me and this thing was just easy for me, how do they go together?
No,
Like, when
you're
I
right.
say
Yeah.
that, what is that? What happens for you when I say that?
Couple things. Number one, it's like, yeah, you're right. I never look at those things as hard. They just weren't. They just came natural, and I enjoy them. That's the other thing. But the other thing that comes up is all of a sudden I get like a pit in my stomach going, well, why the fuck haven't you lost all your weight? What? It's like now I'm like, okay, let's move on from
Okay, let's talk. Good. Let's talk about it. Why the fuck have you not lost your weight? Because here's the thing. I wrote this question down. Anything that you think is easy and enjoyable, you excel at it. And you have proof of that. You've got degrees, you stand on the stage and everything. You are thinking about those things in a way that most people don't. And that's why you've achieved it and most people don't. Now, the people who are losing weight do not sit around and think, this sucks and is so hard. People who lose weight, what are they sitting around thinking?
Look at me. Look what I've done.
No, that's after they've lost weight. Oh, when okay. They are losing weight. When I was losing weight, how much time do you think I spent going, oh my God, this is so incredibly hard. This sucks. I can't do the things I want. Like, how much time do you think I spent there?
Out of 100%, maybe you spent 10 to 20% there from time to time. But most of the time you were
80% of the time I was thinking, this is going to pay off. This is worth it. I really want this. I'm going to get good at this. I'm going to figure this out. I was thinking those thoughts most of the time on purpose. I didn't like, and if something felt hard, I asked myself, why is this so hard? Is this because you are actually trying to do too much? Or is this hard because you have a shitty attitude about it? And is there a better attitude you could have about it?
Yeah.
I did a lot of that.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. I mean, it's, you know, this whole thing that we're doing is all about thought shift.
Yeah. So, like, tell me this. Why is weight loss hard for you?
Just because it's always, because my mindset is that it's always been hard. I've been heavy.
It's always been hard in the past because you always had a lot of shitty thoughts going along. I suck at this. Anything that you think you suck at, you will suck at it. Mm-hmm. Like, did you ever go into college and go, I just really suck as a student?
Oh, no. No, I was good.
Exactly. The really only good. Reason, like, I want you to just notice every area in your life that you did better than other people is because you had better thoughts than other people.
Yeah.
Now you've got an area in your life you would like to do better at. It's going to require better thinking. So, like, what is one specific thing with your weight loss that you struggle with? Like, give me just one thing that's like, to me, this is the hard part.
Oh, eating at night.
Okay. That's, what about it?
I've worked with Kathy for almost 2 years on this. And what I understand about myself is that it has been my habit for my whole life, especially my whole life, to eat at night. That's just been a habit. It's just what we do.
Okay. So and it's just a habit. Habits are easy to break. Emotional things are not. So is it a habit? Because we got to get real clear what's happening. Is this a habit? Or is this fulfilling a purpose?
No, it's a habit, because there's been a number of nights that I have sat in the uncomfortableness of not snacking while watching TV. And I've realized that it's just uncomfortable. It's not hard. It makes it uncomfortable because I'm trying to break that habit, because I'm used to something snacky.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay. If I broke your hand, took a hammer to it and just went to town.
Okay.
And then you're in a cast, right?
Yeah.
You're in the habit of writing with your right hand. What would you do?
I'd try to write with my left hand.
And would it be uncomfortable?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It would look stupid.
Yeah. And would you, but would you be able to go to your right hand?
Not if it's fully in a cast and you can't grab a pencil. No.
Yeah. So the reason why I say it this way is because somebody in the comments also said habits are not easy to break. At least I don't feel they are. Mm-hmm. Habits are very easy to break.
Okay.
And they're not emotionally tied to something. Because if the worst that happens when you don't eat is you feel uncomfortable, just like if I broke your right hand, like if it's literally just a habit at night, then take all the food out of your house that is that you normally snack on and say, like, this is the easiest way to break the habit. I won't have this food around me for a while. That way I won't even be tempted. I won't even miss it. I'll have nothing to worry about.
If I did that, I would probably tell myself, well, you could get in the car and go to McDonald's and get an ice cream cone.
But why would you? If it's just a habit, why would you need it?
Fuck, I don't know. Maybe because is that how I truly feel comfortable and like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I thought to myself, am I eating? Because my husband usually goes to bed before me. You know, I stay up late, like 12, 1, and he goes to bed 10. And I do eat. If I'm going to have real strong urges about snacking, it's after he goes to bed.
And why do you think that is? Because that wouldn't be habit.
Yeah, because then nobody sees me. Nobody sees me snacking. So it makes it less like, it's like not as bad if nobody sees me. And I think that goes back to, you know, I grew up, I was chubby and my mom was stick thin. And God bless her, she had no idea how to deal with a chubby child. But she would a lot say, Paula, do you need that? You know, Paula, you really shouldn't be eating that, you know. And I would sometimes, from time to time, she would feed me different things than the rest of them. Like we'd go for donuts and I would have to have a plain donut, a plain cake donut. Because for some reason, my mom thought that was less calories and that was the better way to do it.
So that story only feeds the secret eating. Mm-hmm. But that's not the reason why you're secret eating to begin with. Only reason, like, so we've got two things happening here. We have the, I'm sneaking food because I think that the way I'm eating is bad. So I wait for my husband to go to sleep. And then I eat the food once he goes to sleep because I wouldn't want him to see me. Because yeah, if somebody else witness it, if somebody else is witnessing it, then you have to realize, oh, what I'm doing is wrong.
Right.
Because if you're just doing it yourself, you're not thinking it's wrong. You're thinking, it's not that bad. Nobody sees me. Just notice how relieved you feel. Notice how, like, around these foods, like, if you do it at night when no one else is looking, everybody's in bed, you're now getting the emotional payoff of relief, freedom, being naughty. No one like no one putting rules around you.
Right.
So that's that piece. Now, what we want to figure out, though, is why you need to eat at night to begin with. I don't think you're habit eating. And I will tell everyone, breaking habits is not hard. So like even with the food thing, here's how you know if you have a habit eat versus an emotional eat. If you, like if I said, hey, everybody, there's a new police in town. And if you were to brush your teeth with your dominant hand for the next 2 weeks, you got to go to jail and serve 30 days. No one would have a hard time breaking the habit of brushing with the other hand because no one is like, oh my God, I'm so married to doing it with my right hand. I mean, it's so unfair. Like I really like my right hand and, you know, and I brush my teeth in secret where no one can see. Like none of us are doing that. That's when we know we have a habit.
Okay.
Because if we're going to change the habit, we do not have drama. Like we're just like, okay, this is not going to be easy because I'm going to have to remind myself to do it. But it's not going to be hard for any other reason. But for you, taking food away doesn't seem like it's a habit. Seems like you want to be eating for a reason. Why do you think you want to eat at night, especially when your husband's gone to bed? What is it doing for you?
I don't know, because most of the time if I am eating late night, I'm kind of feeling guilty the whole time. Like, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this. Why am I sabotaging my weight loss in doing this?
So why are we eating though? The better question, like I need you to quit bashing yourself so you can figure out, you need to turn to compassion and you need to spend some time saying, okay, I know I'm going to eat this. I wonder why I really want it. Am I able to just sit with myself at night by myself while my husband sleeps? Like what happens in my brain? when there's like when we get beyond the food chatter, it's like if I'm wanting to eat and I like so much so that I would get in my car and go get ice cream if I didn't have the food, that is not a habit. That's a need. And so we got to figure out what is it that you need the most at night?
Well, I need more sleep, that's for sure.
Why are we not going to bed then?
I like to sit up and watch TV.
Why? Why do you want to watch TV versus going to bed when you know you need more sleep?
Well, a lot of times when I go to bed, it's like I don't fall asleep right at night. And then I sit there with all my thoughts and
And what are
I start to get anxious.
what
Well,
thoughts are causing anxiety?
I mean, I've got stuff. God damn it, Corinne, you always get people crying. I've got a lot of stuff going on. My husband is struggling with alcohol right now. My son got a DUI a couple months ago. I have a really hard relationship with my middle daughter, but that's gotten much better because we're in specialized counseling. My sister Carol, I worry about her a lot. She has some real heavy duty stuff with her kids, and it's affecting her health, and she doesn't want to talk to her sisters, which is so foreign to our family. I have three sisters and a brother, and we're really, really tight, really close. And right now, she doesn't want to talk to us. And
So I think I know why you're eating at night. You said it yourself. I'm tired, but if I try to go to bed and I can't sleep, then I'm anxious over all the things that are going on in my life.
yeah.
So it makes sense that you're just like, no, I got this nighttime eating habit. Like it would be a lot easier to sit around and call it a habit than it would be to say, when everybody goes to bed, that is the one time of the day that I get to comfort myself because I got a lot of things right now driving my anxiety. And because I can't go to sleep because I'm anxious, I'm staying awake and I'm eating until I can quiet the anxiety down enough to go to bed.
Yeah. And
What do you think about that when I say that? How does that ring true at all or
yeah.
no or?
Yeah, because I what I do at night is I stay up until like the TV has almost put me to sleep. And then I'll put myself to bed. Yeah, I've never thought of this way ever. Well, now Kathy's going to have a whole lot more homework with me.
I
Yeah.
would probably work on this stuff more than I would work on the nighttime eating. The nighttime eating is a result of the stress and struggle you're under with the husband drinking, the son with a DUI, and the sister stuff. Like if that's the undercurrent of your day, then it makes sense that when everything's quiet and everyone's gone to bed, this is probably the one time that you're actually unwinding.
Yeah.
And if you're unwinding with the television and food, this is why I wanted to make sure this wasn't a habit. Because if you literally were just wanting to eat popcorn every night because you have forever, it would take 2 to 3 days to stop eating popcorn and you wouldn't care anymore. And the first 2 to 3 days would be, you would want it, you would have urges for it, but you wouldn't be crawling out of your skin. We crawl out of our skin. Or we give up on it really quick, or that kind of stuff when it is substituting for emotional relief. And so we have to get emotional relief with the things that are going on in your life for you, which means we're not going to be able to erase a DUI. We're not going to be able to get the husband to quit drinking. We're not going to get the sister to be talking. You've got to work through how are you going to be there for yourself through all of this? And
Okay.
then working through your thoughts about all of it. Like, what does it mean about you? Like, if you're You know, I don't know what stories you've concocted around it, but everybody takes their life circumstances and they all create stories about it. And your story is driving anxiety. And we want the story to not drive anxiety. We don't want to make everything okay. We want to make the story to where whatever you tell yourself, it leaves space for you to be compassionate, understanding. It opens the door to care for yourself in really nurturing ways, not in just eating and watching TV, because that is the way that you've dealt with it now. And that has been the default way to care and nurture for yourself. So we've got to have new ones. And that starts with untangling what we're thinking about all of this stuff.
So probably, because I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, okay, so what are the action items that I need to, what do I need to be doing to?
The first thing is like, let's just take, what is of the three big ones you've got, the DUI, the sister, and the husband, what is one that would be the easiest one, do you think, to untangle super fast? Not all the way to completion, but just where we could just get like one thought shift relief.
Probably my sister's, the sister thing.
Okay. So you've got a sister who's going through some shit, right? And she's not wanting to talk to y'all about it.
Right.
Okay. That's just the fact.
Right.
Now, what is your current thought about her not wanting to talk to y'all and that she's going through shit? Like, what are you thinking about that? Just give me like 2 to 3 sentences.
I worry that the fact that she's not, not talking about it and not releasing all of her anxiety over it. I just worry that it's, I mean, I know it's affecting her health. I know that. And it's not the relationship with her daughter. It doesn't seem like it's getting any better. There's just a standstill, okay. You know, and I,
all of that is a fact, just,
right?
Okay. So we can just keep moving that up into what we call the fact line.
Okay.
Sister, she's not talking. It's you're seeing it affect her health. The situation with her daughter is not improving. None of that's going to change. Now, knowing all of that, nothing's going to change. Your sister's not going to open up and she's going to have health problems, all of that. Now, what do you think?
Well, I think that I have to change my thought around that.
What do you think currently? Before we change our thought, let's just really make sure we understand our thought.
Okay, it kind of hurts that she doesn't want to, that she doesn't want to share all this, that she doesn't want to let us help her.
And why does that hurt? Why does it hurt? Like, what is your, so she doesn't want to share. She doesn't want our help. That's still just a fact at this point.
Okay.
Now, why does that hurt? Why are you feeling hurt about that versus respectful versus giving her space versus I understand?
Because I fix things.
Okay. That's the problem thought. Okay. That's where we're getting into problem land. I fix things and it hurts probably because you're thinking, I can't fix this.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to blow your mind. That is also a fact. That is
okay.
Not a thought. You can't fix other people's lives. You can fix things. This is not a thing. This is a human being with emotions, shame, all the things. I'm sure she's got a ton of things working. You cannot fix her feelings. She says, I can't fix yours.
Right.
You have to fix your feelings, just like your sister would have to. So for you, I think the problem thought is, I can't help her. Or I can't fix her. Which one feels more true?
I can't help her.
I can't help her. That's the one we want to work on. Because that Like, I want you to think about this. When you think I can't help her and you're spending your day hurt, and I almost bet you, if we broke down, your husband and your son, you would probably have the same core thought. I can't help them. I can't fix these things.
Right, right.
And so now we're hurting. And that is why we're eating at night when it gets really quiet, because during the day, it's probably running underneath the surface.
Oh, yeah. There's
And then,
tons to do during the day. I don't have to think about it.
Right. At night, when it's all quiet, that's when our problem thoughts come up, because they can. And that's why we eat. We go and we drive to McDonald's to get the ice cream cone, because I'd rather be focused on eating than I would be on, I can't help the people I love most in my life. So now what we want to be thinking about is, for you, knowing this with your sister, knowing, like, she's got this relationship, it's affecting her health, all of these things. How do you want to be? Let's do this. Rather than thinking, right now you feel hurt by your sister. Not like she's doing something to you, but you're hurt in this situation. Like, you would just let me help. I think it would all be better. Okay. How do you want to feel towards her, knowing all that she's got going on?
I absolutely love and compassion for her.
Okay. So you want
that's what I want to feel, and I want to display it to her.
Okay. Let's take love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is it going to take to go from being hurt that she won't let you help to feeling compassion while you witness her life?
I just have to remember she's my sister. I mean, and that I love her no matter what, no matter what's going on. So if I just remember, you know, love her through this and follow her lead, I guess.
Well, that would be a great thought to remind yourself. I'm going to follow her lead because I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the other thing I want to invite you to think. I think you want to be hurt for her, but I think you're doing it the wrong way. You're hurting because you think she won't let me fix her. Instead of hurting for her, because that is my sister. And it will always be painful to watch my sister go through tough times. That is because I love her so much. And she's going through tough times right now. And part of loving, that's like the podcast I was talking about earlier. Like, when we talk about life is cyclical, we have people in our lives. We will, like, you know, especially when you get married, like I think about this a lot with Chris. We have a great marriage, and there's going to be a day where I'm going to be mourning and grieving. To have this, I'm going to have that. To have a sister that you love so much and would do anything for, so much so that you think you could fix her, it also means you have to be hurt when they hurt. When they are in pain and you're watching it, it means I hurt too. So now we have to learn how to hurt better. Like, what would hurting at night for your sister look like? Like, hurting and then moving into love versus I'm going to eat and pretend it's not happening.
Yeah. I mean, that almost sounds like I'm doing her and myself a disservice by.
Well, you're doing just like her. She's like, you can't fix me. And every single night you're looking at yourself going, I can't fix you either.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you can fix you.
Yeah.
You have all the control over you. You have no control over there.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's affecting her health?
Yeah.
And
she has heart problems.
Well, I can't imagine that you eating every single night, stuffing down your emotions, is not affecting your health in some way.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've probably had 25 or 30 still to go. And, you know, I had cancer last year, and my doctor told me the most important thing I can do is get at an optimal weight.
So let me ask you this. What is it that you would really love for your sister to first do? First, like if you were doing triage on her, what would be your first, like, girl, you got to fix this. Like, let's start here. What would you have her? And I would pick the health stuff because you can't fix her and her daughter's relationship.
No.
But you, like, if you were going to wave your, I don't have my wand. I was going to wave my wand, but let's say you were going to wave your magic wand and she was going to suddenly take better care of herself. What would she be doing?
I think she needs to get into counseling. Okay. She needs to talk with somebody because she always says that my sister talks about all kinds of stuff she does to get rid of the chatter. Like she puts her TV on first thing in the morning and plays it loud. And when the TV's not on, then the music is on. And, you know, she also is one that, and she has terrible sleep. If she gets 3-4 hours, she's lucky.
Okay.
You know,
what would you tell her to do?
I think one of the best things she can do for herself is talk to somebody.
Okay.
That would help her with the mind chatter and all that.
Okay. So that's what I want you doing before you tell her, before we fix her. I want you doing that with your chatter around your anxiety and stuff at night.
Okay.
Y'all both are doing the same fucking shit. I like how you want her to change stuff. And like, she's literally doing just what you're doing. It's like, oh, I'm feeling uncomfortable. So she's blaring the TV and blaring the radio. And you're like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. So I'm going to go eat at night and watch TV until I'm passing out so I can go to bed.
Right. Right.
So as I always tell people, before you fix someone else, fix you. Because you're the easier one to fix. Because you have control over you. We don't have control over her. So I have Kathy watch our coaching.
Yeah.
I think, like, sure. Let's dig in here. Like, let's really focus in on, like, the real problem in the room. Because some of that stuff about discounting, that may be things that could help you later down the road. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like right now we have what we call, like, I always like to reference it as, like, Swiss cheese. One time when Logan was little, he had an ABA therapist that said, Corinne, he can learn so much stuff. His brain is like Swiss cheese. He's got big holes and little holes. And he's going to spend his life plugging the holes deliberately, you know, to be able to socialize and talk like the rest of it and all the things.
Right.
I feel like us NoBS women are the same way when it comes to food. We just have a Swiss cheese block. And some of the emotional holes are big and some of them are tiny. And we're just going to spend our entire, like, life plugging our emotional holes until we're pretty resilient, where we can hurt, like, not get hurt because someone won't let us help them, but hurt because that's a normal feeling when you witness someone you love who's hurting.
Right.
And
right.
We learn to hurt better. It's not, we take hurt away, but then we have some holes where there's unnecessary shit. Like with Liz, Liz has unnecessary shame about her closets. That is hurt we can immediately take away because we're just thinking about it wrong.
Yeah.
With you, we've got to take the hurt, and we're not going to remove hurt. We're just going to hurt better and differently. We're going to hurt on purpose. Like, I'm really hurting because I just love my sister so much, and this is hard to watch. And I want more for her. But at the same time, I love her and I love me. And me hurting at night is normal.
Yes. Yes.
And I think if you work through this, plus your son and your husband too, you will have more emotional resiliency at night to not eat. It's a lot easier to say no to food at night when you've taken down the temperature of what's really driving needing to eat to begin with. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thank you
Thanks.
For coming on here and combing your hair and everything.
I know. Barely. Barely. I actually put some mascara on, but you can't really tell.
No, I can tell. You look good. I think you look good. If you had to say anything, nobody would know the difference. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. I love you.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. That is it for today. If y'all like, if you have your hand raised and you still need some coaching, I highly recommend you go over to Ask Coaches and you tell them. The coaches really do know how to like work through these things just like I do. They listen to my calls. I put them through rigorous training. They worked with a coach for a few months this year to level up their skills. I am really working hard on making sure that every person you interact with here at No BS knows how to love and support you in all the ways that you need, because weight loss is not just about getting better at stopping at enough or getting better at not eating at night. It's really about how are we going to plug all these holes that we have so that when we hurt, when we're anxious and stuff, we know how to help ourselves instead of needing to just get away from it. Okay. Thank you, Queens. I'll see you later. Bye, y'all.